so that you can have the strength to escape all these things that will happen in order to stand before the Son of Man. Now, why is the preaching of the coming of the kingdom an urgent matter? Why is it urgent? I hope you know, before I explain that, I hope you know that this kingdom that we are talking about, I hope you know that it will be set up, its headquarters will be set up in this present world, on this planet Earth. That's the future of this world. Remember Revelation 21? The Bible says, and that great city, in Jerusalem, what happened? It came down from heaven. That's what the Bible says. It says it came down.
Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
If it's coming from heaven, where is it coming to? Earth. How do I know that it's not planet Mars or Jupiter? Because the Bible says, now the dwelling place of God is with who? Man. And I know there are no men on Jupiter. Amen. Are you getting it now? So it's coming to this world. That is the future of this world. Of course, Satan, who pretends to be the God of this world, will do whatever he wants to do. But of course, he will go into perdition as it is ordained of him. Why is it urgent that the message of the coming kingdom must be preached? Number one, because nobody knows when the Lord Jesus will come. Why is the message urgent? Why is it important? Number one, it is because nobody knows when the Lord Jesus will come. Matthew 24, verse 43 to 45. Mark 13, verse 33 to 37. Amen. And once he comes, everything will change permanently for everyone. How many things will change? Everything. Will change for how many people? Everyone. Forever. Once he comes, that is the state that people will be in forever. So if, when he came, he met them sinful, would they now change at that time? No, there's no more time to change. If he met them compromisers, if he met them hypocrites, would they be able to change at that time? The answer is no, they won't be able to. And I have found out repeatedly that what you tell people constantly, that's what they'll become. I mean, as a minister, you understand? Whatever you focus on constantly, that's what the people that you are preaching to or teaching becomes. So if you focus so much on faith, as good as it is, what would be the only thing that they will know? Faith. They may not know love, they may not know anything about power, but they will understand faith. Also, if you teach people Jesus or the things about the lifestyle and the teachings of Jesus, the beautiful thing is that, what would they know? Jesus. Except that there's faith in Jesus, there's deliverance in Jesus, but Jesus is not necessarily in faith. Amen? He's not necessarily in deliverance. You don't understand? If what you teach are doctrines, and you are not teaching the person and the work of Christ, he may not necessarily be in those doctrines. That's what I'm saying. You understand it now? Now come people preach faith today, and it's not even the kind of faith that Jesus talked about. It is faith for covetousness. When you see the other person's land, or landed property, poor amateur there, claim it by faith. That's the kind of thing people do. When you see somebody's car, as long as it's not beaten, tap and say, my own is coming next. You understand? Faith for covetousness, and it's not the kind of faith that Jesus had or told us to have. The moment he comes, everything will change for everyone permanently. And this is why the message is urgent. Do you understand? It's why we as ministers must understand it, and it's something that we must constantly teach and preach. Amen. The scriptures. Okay? I said Matthew 24, verse 43 to 45. Somebody should read for us. Mark 13, verse 33 to 37. Amen. You also must be ready when? Every time. Should there be a time for laughter night when we are bringing comedians to the church? Say, you know, since laughter makes the soul to be merry.
Should there be time for things like that? Huh? Should there be time for red carpet? Amen. Oh, you don't know red carpet. People do a manner of meetings now. When worldly people do red carpet, we let people stand on what on red carpet. And we ask them, you know what are you wearing? Can you tell us who you are wearing? And that's how they say it. Say, you know, my top is Gucci, this that one. I've seen churches, ministries, who do retreat, and they'll be red carpet. I know, it's okay now. You know what I mean? You know, we are youth. Will the rapture remember that you're a youth? Is the rapture concerned that you're a youth? Is that how you measure up or you don't? Which one is that you're a youth? What does that one mean? When David was called a king, what was he? Was he an old man? He was a youth. He was just 17. When he was called, that is the next king of Israel. And he was in training for 13 years. All manner of worldly things, and we want to do praise night. At the end of the day, everything else is praised except God. People come to showcase the latest worldly dance steps. I saw one praise meeting like that, in a video, and I wept for the church. I didn't say I shed physical tears. I wept in my heart for the church that was raising such people. All the latest worldly dance steps, all their instrumentalists are. You see their hair, self. You know that this one is not in any way close to God. They come to praise themselves and do a manner of things. Because that cannot be God that you are praising looking like that. Why did I say the message is urgent? Because we don't know when it's coming. And we say when it comes, everything changes for how many people? Everyone. Permanently. And that will be their state forever. Amen. So I want you to imagine if you worship in a church of say 400 people or 500 people and 9 people in your church are ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's say it comes this afternoon. It's only 9 people. What happens to the remaining 493, I think? Did I say 9 people? Oh, I thought I said 7 people. That was how I was saying 93. Now, what happened to the remaining 491 people? Do you understand? And I'm sure you know in Nigeria, 500 church, a small church. The 500 number church is small church. It's okay, but it's not the happening churches. So what happens if you are 2,000 in the congregation and 12 are the ones that are ready if Jesus comes? Everything permanently changes for the remaining people. And what kind of change? Permanent. Is there a second batch for the rapture? No, there's no second batch. These are things that we don't think about. You know, I used to think that I wish when Jesus comes to be a Sunday. I wonder why, Pastor. Because there are churches that the pastor will still be preaching when Jesus has gone. And the whole congregation will be present. And I said, no other reason other than that. Because all the man has been doing is deceiving them. And now, he has destroyed them. Because he was just a liar. And that's why this message is urgent. Do you know something that I noticed? You can't preach it if you're not prepared for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't talk about it. Or you can't even preach it once every year Easter. Huh? If when you are preaching about peacemaking, you will bring in the coming of Jesus. Huh? If when you are preaching about wives, submit to your own husband, you will bring what now? The coming of Jesus. If when you are talking about patience or perseverance, you find a way to bring the fact that the master is coming. It will be because you yourself, what happened to you? You are expecting his coming and you are looking forward to his coming. If you are not, don't talk about it. If it is in your, maybe, Sunday school manual, the only reason why you branch there it is because our Sunday school for this period of time or weeks is the coming of Jesus. Somebody like that. Is he ready always? Huh?
if Jesus comes, is he going anywhere? No, why? He's already now. Let me give you a very simple illustration. Two illustrations. One, your friend suddenly comes into your house around 10, 15 a.m. in the morning when you are not prepared to go anywhere because you didn't know he was coming. And he says, well, yeah, let's go now. You know, the first question will be what? Where are you going? You know, there's this, you know, and I thought I would go together. You didn't tell me before, so I'm not prepared. Besides, I have things planned out for today. Is it not so? But if he had told you earlier that I'm coming, do you know that somewhere in your subconscious, somewhere in your mind, you tell yourself, I will take my bath by so time. Is it not so? I will finish all my work on time. You would have ironed the clothes. It's part of the preparation to go somewhere. Huh? If your clothes was dirty, the one that you went to wear, what would you have done? You will wash it. After washing it, you will dry it. Since you can't wear soaked, you know, baptized clothes, to go somewhere. Okay. After it dries, you will iron it since you don't want to wear what is rough to go out. They are all part of what now? Preparation towards that going out. Now, if your friend now comes, or even if he doesn't come on time, you are now looking at time, Abby, and you are saying what now? He's delaying. Do you notice that at that period of time while you are waiting, you don't hold on to anything that you want to do very seriously? I don't know. Do you understand what I mean by that statement? Huh? For instance, because you are going out, you don't now begin to say, since you are waiting, you want to cook rice. I'm not saying somebody is in your house that will finish the rice. Huh? When we are waiting, there are certain things we don't do. Things that takes time, we don't do it. Even if you are watching anything on TV, you don't want to watch something that when the person comes, it's difficult for you to stand up. You make sure that you are not engaged. You hold light things. What are we supposed to be doing in this waiting period while we are waiting for Jesus? We are supposed to be holding lightly. We are not supposed to be making elaborate plans as if we won't die. Or as if he won't come. Does that mean that since you are waiting for Jesus, don't go to school? Is that what I said? Did you hear me say that? Because people have a way of just being off. So when we are waiting for Jesus, we are waiting. Then you sit on one spot. As if when it's time to eat, he will forget to eat. He won't forget to eat. Even they will say that he's waiting for Jesus. You understand? We are not supposed to hold tightly to anything. Now, your congregations, the people that you lead, whether your choir, your church, whatever, can never be more ready than you. Amen. They cannot be what? Because the way it is, the way God made it, those who lead, they will always be in the front. You understand? And there, you see, when you look at their congregations or their followers or people who they lead, they are a direct, what did I use? Replica of all that man is and stands for. Amen. Direct. That's why I told you the matter is not in preaching. The matter, first of all, is in what? Living. Because if that's who you are, if the member of your church or the member of your group, whatever, misbehaves, if they think that that's what you're teaching them, when they now come close, what happens now? You see, no, that's not what you're teaching them. This one is just a rebel. Do you understand? But when we meet 9 people, out of the 20 that you are leading, they are like that. It seems you are like that. Have you? Because that's almost half of the entire people. Brethren, some of the passages that scares me the most in the Bible are those words that Jesus said when he talks about his coming, how he doesn't know. You know, he didn't know about it too while he was here on earth with us. Of course, he knows it now that he's glorified. You understand? How evil angels, no matter how close they are to you, they can't tell you. Why? God knows that secret can leak. So he did not tell angels. The Holy Spirit, since he's God, he knows. But when you ask him, he will refer you to Deuteronomy 29:29. You know what's there?
The secret things belong to the Lord our God. That which is revealed belongs to us and our children. Say, Holy Spirit, you said that you tell me anytime. No. But some things are classified. Why didn't he tell us the time? Because if he did, men will enter heaven by hypocrisy. How would they enter heaven? When he's coming, he has told us this September 5, 2018. I will find all the prostitutes that can sleep with him. I'll do that for 1.5 years. I will steal all the money I can steal. I will do all this. Once it is September. In fact, Jesus said that that day was like a trap. So the only antidote to not missing it is living ready. The only antidote. And I found out that living ready is something that must be consistently taught. That's what I found out. Particularly from the New Testament, where even when they are talking about Holy Communion or spiritual gifts, they will still find a way to mention, you know, since we are still waiting for our Lord to come. Because in this day and age, it's as if we men of God and women of God, we don't want to go anywhere. All that one about the Peter and Paul, that they just want to die and just have the Lord. How I say, Mara, let me say, call it. How empire will grow. That's what we are concerned with. What that unfortunate vision is what a leader has. What happens to the expectations of the people who are under such a leader? Are they not in trouble? Because they are not going anywhere. It's not anything. We need men over. You know, he say, I produce so anyway. That's not his focus. He's not concerned about that. I listened to a message once. In that message, my disciple was saying something about, he was given an illustration of an exam he wrote that he prepared only based on, not on the white curriculum, but on the things his teacher, his local teacher, in his local school, told him to prepare for, since he wants to write. By the time the exam came, the thing the teacher told him to prepare for, not one came up. And had the F9, you know, in that exam. So that when he was now complaining bitterly that, but they didn't teach us this, that they didn't tell us. Somebody asked him that, is it that you don't know that there's a WAEC syllabus? Why he was saying that thing is, was in answer to somebody who was saying something. Except, it's not enough that you say they didn't teach us this in our church. Huh? Because WAEC is not your local school exam. Just as the judgment to come is not about your local church. It's about what will happen. The Bible is not just your local church textbook. What is it though? It is the global textbook. So even if they didn't teach you, is it that you have no common sense to search for these things yourself? But nobody told us that we are going to be judged. That doesn't mean you won't be judged. Amen? Doesn't it? So therefore, when we are talking about the kingdom and that Jesus is coming, why is it important? Why is it urgent? Because nobody knows when the master will come. Secondly, I don't have enough time to explain how it will change, how whatever state he meets everybody in, that's what they will be in, okay? And I'm not really sensing the Holy Spirit asking me to stay there. The second reason is because death can come at any time. Thank God, I know you keep quoting, I shall not die, but live to declare the goodness of God. It's okay. The scripture. Amen. When you slept last night, what was your assurance that you wake up this morning? Is there any agreement between you and God? Huh? Is there any agreement between you and God that you are going to wake up the following morning? There's no agreement like that. You know, once they invited me to a church, all this crossover night, they made a mistake. I was the one they invited. So when we got there, you know, they expect people to be praying for blessing for the new year, all of that. I asked the Holy Spirit, what does he want to say? He said, tell them, why should I spare you for next year? That was the only time they invited me for crossover night. Why should I spare you? Let us look at the balance sheet. Huh? You were a waste to me this year. And what you are planning for next year is to be what? To be a waste. Why should I spare you? Ah! Church while I left you. God is not telling us how God will bless us. Death can come at any time. And since death can come at any time, Yorubas will say, Ikuton pa ojugba eni, ki don se o. Owe lo pa fe yon. That is, it just simply means, death that can kill somebody that is somebody that's your mate. It's only telling you a proverb that you too, you can go at any time. That's what he's telling you. That's a proverb. You know, we behave in church as if we won't die. We behave in church as if we have time. And in that conceit, we are so sure we won't die. I have this book about dying saints of the saved and the unsaved. You understand? So there's this particular lady that was sick and she knew she was going to die. So she was greeting everybody. She attends a church where they are not serious people, but they believe they are going to heaven. So some other brethren, when they knew that she was going to die, that her time is up, they came to her. These things that we are telling you, you have to take this way. Say, I'll get to heaven before you. Don't worry. See, now my plane will soon come. I'm going. See you on the other side. Lo and behold, when the time came, as she sank in death and breathed her last, she jacked back her life. Why? Said, no. What are they doing around me? At that point in time, her pastor came in. When I read that thing, I prayed and I promised myself. And she looked at him just as she was snatched away. And said to him, away with you, the deceiver. He had assured them they were going to heaven when he didn't know the way. And he's not planning to go anywhere himself. They've lived, you know, shallow, compromising, worldly, so-called Christian life. And death came. He saw the reality stark for what it is. The body of Christ as it is constituted today, does not prepare anybody for heaven. And you must not join them. Are you hearing me? You must not do what? You are a servant of God. It is God you serve. You must not join them. Do you know how I know we don't prepare anybody for heaven? You know how I know? It's simple now. If we prepare people for heaven, things that make people make it home will be what we'll focus upon. Is it not so? I see us focusing so much on things that we cannot carry to the grave, not to talk about carry to the other side. Can you carry ATM to the grave? What about tire of the car? Let's say the old car is too big to be buried. He has died and he likes his car so much. Let's bury the four tire with him. The people that need tire, what will they do when you are gone? For those four tires, they will remove you. Carry that. The kind of gospel that does not give people hope beyond the grave. The kind of gospel that does not give people assurance beyond the grave, it is false. What did I say it is? Do you know why? It's like somebody has a disease, then they keep giving him paracetamol. Does paracetamol cure disease? It is sickness that paracetamol can cure, like headache. Paracetamol can't even cure migraine. There are drugs that they provide for migraine because it's more serious than that. So, we keep using spoon. We are giving our people spoon when what they need to pack is a trailer of sand. That even if you have the proper equipment with the shovel, it's after so many sweats, is it not so, that you finish packing, we give people spoon. Keep packing. As you are packing, encourage your brethren, tell him hallelujah, let us pack. By the strength of the Holy Spirit, we pack. Simply foolishness to use spoon as a spade. It's a spade, a shovel. It is foolishness. And that they begin with S, that they start with S and S, doesn't make it the same. Shovel. Spade. Doesn't mean it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Size is not even the same. You can't prepare for eternity using spoon to pack what you need to pack out. What must you use? Shovel. Death can come at any time. If the Lord does not take away his church while a person is alive, that person can be sure that death will end his existence while here in this present world. Yet, like the return of Christ for his church, no one knows for certain the time of his own death. Does anybody know? Do we know who is next? Do we know who is last? We don't know. Hence, they need to be ready daily, prepared to meet the Lord, whether one closes his eyes in death or whether the Lord returns to take his own home. Just as it doesn't matter what else the inhabitants of Sodom were busy doing, the moment God decided to wipe out their city and all the other cities of the plain, an end came to their way of living, even though they do not know about it. The moment God had decided that he wiped them out, there was no more future in the way they were living. They went about their business as usual, not knowing that that was their last night on earth, nor that they would suddenly open their eyes in hell after their sudden overthrow to an irreversible reality that would be their lot forever. They didn't know. They didn't know. In the same way, this present world already stands condemned. The Lord is bringing an end to the rule of Satan and the rebellion of ungodly men. He will overthrow this present world and its satanic spiritual princes and their willful human subjects with such an overthrow so great, such as have never been seen before, nor ever will be seen again. This is why our message is urgent. Absolute destruction is coming, and God has sent us in mercy to warn men ahead of time. May people come to meetings that you hold soberly. May they live soberly. May they live constantly reflecting and constantly thinking, I need to change you. May they not live shaking hands at the moment you are done preaching. They are doing networking. Hey, so that business, how we can? That's not ministry. What is it not? Not ministry. Not the kind of, if they are doing that while you are, maybe what you should do is, when you finish preaching, go and hide somewhere and spy. You'll see what people are doing. You know whether your message needs to change or not. Now, imagine that for 52 Sundays a year, if you are not talking about the fact that you can die at any time, what you are talking about is the judgment seat of Christ. If it is not that one, what you are talking about is be careful so you don't fall into temptation. Will your people be serious? Or they won't be serious? They'll be serious. Why? Because that's what you constantly teach them. Because that's what you constantly talk about. Because that's your own fear also. Let me tell you, the system of the world has advanced so much to the level that if you don't keep consecrating yourself to God, they would have carried you away with their flood. Some of us, this gateway will tell Lotta that you may even realize that from my brother, you have been carried. If you don't keep telling yourself, no, I will not love the world, you will love it. Because it's so subtle, it's so quiet, yet it's so active, yet it is so addictive. Brethren, what is the importance of the message of the kingdom that Jesus preached? This message of the gospel of the kingdom is of absolute importance because the eventual decision and choice of every soul as regards the kingdom of God, either positively or negatively, is eternal in consequence and in impact. I said, why is this message important? I said, it is because the eventual decision and choice of every soul as regards the kingdom of God, either positively or negatively, is eternal in consequence and in impact. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Romans 2, verse 4 to 11. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Romans 2, verse 4 to verse 11. Why is this type of message important? This kind of thing that Jesus preached. Why must we preach it too? Because every soul will eventually have to decide where it's going. Every soul will have to make a choice. Do you understand? And that choice and that decision is eternal in consequence. It's also eternal in impact. That means that the type of impact that choice or that decision will have will not end in time. But you know what is scary? Everyone will decide. Either positively or negatively. Not if they want all this nonsense. All what they know is gloom and doom. But not in this, in the mortuary.
We are in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. He has decided, he's chosen where he's going, what he wants to do. Christianity does not leave room for recklessness. It does not leave room for being carefree. Do you understand? It tells us, rejoice in trembling. Even when we are going to rejoice, how? It is with trembling. And I've researched religions of this world. I even have materials that I can use for things like that to compare all the religions of the world, their stand, their beliefs, and look at Christianity. The only thing that really made sense. What's the point of that? I'm being good, because if I don't do good, when I die, I come back in this life. Just so they keep existing forever in the cycle. Those Hindus. If I don't do good, so I must not kill this fly, maybe my uncle. No manner of you. Let's not even go there. You must not be a minister who ministers and people are not confronted with a decision. Amen. They must be confronted. They must be asked to make a decision. See, like there's this course that we're going to have that talks about altar call. Altar call does not necessarily mean that somebody should come out. But what is it? You must make a decision. And the decision not to make a decision is already a decision. And you say, no, me, I will not take any stand. You have taken a stand. Rewards and retributions are the recompenses to be received. What are to be received? Rewards. Somebody who takes reward will not take retribution. Somebody who takes retribution will not take reward. It's simple. And people must know that those are the choices that they have. So that having known, okay, they can make intelligent and spiritual decision that is not based on ignorance. Therefore, people, I'm rising. What does that one mean? Rising to where? I'm rising. When you come back next year, he's still there. He has not risen. And he forgot, he said, I'm rising 4 years ago. There's a critical need for every soul alive to realize and take responsibility for his or our eventual eternal destination and destiny. That choice can only be made intelligently after a soul has been offered the kingdom by the preaching of the true gospel. Honestly, that's the truth. Do you remember that in Romans 10, from verse 9 to 15, the Bible was talking about people cannot call upon him and be saved if they have not heard. Huh? They cannot hear if there's no preacher. They cannot preach if they are not sent. You would think that with the number of churches, though, people have, you know, that the truth is up, that the truth is surplus. Oh. No. It's as if the more the number of churches, the more the scarcity of the true word of God. I don't understand. I don't know why it's like that. But that's what I have seen. The other day I was sitting watching TV. 15, 20 minutes, this man was preaching. We couldn't take anything. If you are talking for 15, 20 minutes, we should put to try and understand where you are coming from, where you are going. Nothing. We're just rambling. And they are contributing money to put that on TV. They're rambling. Brethren, this is another point. There's a need for the Bible teacher himself or herself to personally see, believe, and accept the kingdom for himself or herself. That is very, very important. Why? You can't preach or teach beyond your life. You can't. You can't. You can't describe what you have not seen before. Can you? We ask you, have you seen or have you eaten white soup before? Is that yes now? Say, please, can you tell us, can you describe white soup? So when you want to make white soup, you will get a bottle of palm oil. Even if you have common sense, white soup already tells you it won't be red. You can't describe what you have not experienced. You can't tell others where you have not been.
First John 1:1-4, Hebrews 11:8-10, then 13-16. 1 John 1, 1 to 4, Hebrews 11, 8 to 10, then 13 to 16. The reason why there's so much weakness in the body of Christ today is because there are no genuine witnesses. Or if there are, they must be very little in number and practically unknown. The message that has not yet convicted and convinced the speaker can never convert the hearer. Not possible. You must see, touch, and experience this kingdom of God for yourself. For only then can your message become authentic. Only then will the Lord continually walk with you, confirming your words with the signs that follow. Men and women of old saw this kingdom and the very reality and the prospect of the gospel. Thus, they could not help it, but they must speak of what their eyes have seen and what their ears have heard. Bro, what have you said? Amen. As I attempt to wrap up, I want to wrap up with the next one, which is, believe ye in the gospel. That's what Jesus taught. Jesus never generalized when he ministers. He never did what? Never say, you know, let us change. Is that how he talks? He will say, you need to change. So, if the gospel must be believed, who must believe it? Me. Is it that we must believe it? It's good that we must believe it. But beyond we must believe it, who must believe it? I must believe it. Jesus demanded that people who follow him personally believe in what he says and believe in him. There's no belief in the gospel today. If not more than half of the prayer points that people pray in churches, they won't pray them. Nobody believes in the gospel. Say the Son of God set you free, you are free indeed. If you believe in Jesus, you will know that if he has saved you, let's even assume that your ogo was padlocked. Now the Bible says that if the Son of God set you free, you are free how? Indeed. And somebody will say the Son of God has set him free. But he will break scripture by saying, me, I'm not yet free. I used to say, whatever Jesus cannot do, that one man of God will do. I suspect that man of God. If Jesus can't, you are the one that will. Meanwhile, Jesus did. Because he said that he finished his work. Then, I know you say you are born again. But after born again, there's a deliverance. We must still remove you from the enemy of your father's house, from your mother's house, enemy of your uncle. So you perpetually will be doing deliverance of all manner. After you say you have been, no, you need to believe the gospel. You need to believe that is the truth. And if you as a minister does not believe it, can your people accept it? No. If you as a minister, if all your hope and all your trust is not in Christ and in Christ alone, you know, I used to say that because people's conviction is so shallow. When they are having some problems, they may start listening to pastors to pray for them. If the problem continues, they leave the pastors, they go to prophets. Abi? If the problem continues, they leave the prophets, they go to white garment prophets. If the problem continues, and they have a quant, oh, no, if it's their affair. If it continues, there's one baba somewhere. A man thing, well, they knew. That's where they will go. Why? They are not anchored on it. So, any wind that comes can blow them. Any storm that comes can carry them away. It is important to believe in the gospel. Why is it important? Because you don't get the benefit of the gospel without faith in the gospel. What are the benefits in the gospel? I'm free from my sins. Abi? And the consequences of my sins. I'm free from satanic control or all the people under his hand. I not only become a citizen of God's kingdom, I have an inheritance in that kingdom. God becomes my father. So you see now, because people don't believe in the gospel, they open things that they call gospel church. Yet, what they do is they service people who don't believe in the gospel, and they still use the Bible. If you believe in the gospel, the first thing you'll experience in your life is freedom. and peace.
Freedom and what?
Freedom and what? Peace. Freedom in prayer. Freedom of access to God. Peace. Peace like a river.
Peace so that whenever anything scares you, when you talk to God and pray about it, He answers or assures you by giving you what now?
Peace. He says, peace. My peace have I given you.
You must believe the gospel for yourself. If the gospel says that there's a kingdom in it, believe that there's a kingdom. Are you getting it now? If the gospel says that there's a hell, you believe that what? There's a hell. That's what it means to believe.
You just become a Yoruba philosopher.
You're a philosopher. You are not holding, there's nothing that you are holding on to.
And there are so plenty.
Some of them are even ministers. Some are ministers. Some are Sunday school teachers. So that has told him he can never be clean. Is that what the Bible is talking about? The Bible was making a statement before Christ came, oh, this is the condition of man. After Christ has come, he said, I'm saying for Sentomo. Because he has decided in his life, oh, anymore. And such a person now is teaching other people. You understand? You must believe in the gospel. When he was telling us about the mansions in New Jerusalem that he's going to go and build, how did he start? He said, believe in God, but believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I am coming back. If you believe, you will wait as if he's coming. If you don't believe, he's coming, will catch you. By surprise, it will catch you suddenly. And because you are a minister, because you teach people, you must demand that they believe. You must encourage them that they believe. You must teach them so that they get to that point of understanding, so that faith can be released. When people don't believe in the gospel, they are swallowed by the devil. See, they can be sleeping inside, even on the altar. They can make their bed here. Satan will swallow them. Because the only thing that will save them, they have no faith in it. You wonder, but as powerful as God is, why does he insist that we must believe? Like I said before, all the benefits of all that Christ died for, come if I put my faith in it that it is true. That's when I begin to experience it. That's the only reason. And faith is something so personal that I can choose to keep. I can choose to say I will not believe. And I will not do what? I won't believe. And then I lock all the doors to what should have come. And I can choose to say, you know what? I want to believe. And then I open all the floodgates. And great things begin to happen to me. If you don't believe the gospel, if you come from a masquerade family, when it's time to do the masquerade festival, if you will not wear the masquerade costume, you will send money so that they don't throw arrows. And because you don't believe. If you believe in the gospel, you know that those things, they are things of darkness. Are you getting now? And if you damn the consequence, nothing can happen to you. Amen? Matthew chapter, what is it? And verse what? For perfect love cast out fear. And he that is afraid is not yet perfected in love. If he loves you more than life, as I know you love your children, and things threaten your children that you have power over, is there a threat? And I think he loves you more than life. Because even before you and I met him at all, he has laid down his life for us to show how much we are loved. So what should I fear? Of course, he who does not believe in the gospel will not fear God. And he who does not fear God has need to fear. Because things that you will fear, you need a catalog to see your different types. But he who fears the Lord need not fear anything. It will stick to you more than glue. in the name of Jesus. You won't know why it's not difficult to trust in people the way you should trust in God. Instead, all your trust, all your hope, all your peace, all your joy will be in Christ alone. As He commands your destiny, let that destiny open up. Light shines in the midst of darkness unapologetically. It does not shine diplomatically. It shines because light can shine. Therefore, all that was written concerning you, because you have put your hopes in Him, who is the only solid ground, let your destiny open up in the name of Jesus. If it's that you've missed it before, when people come to Christ, He says even the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm has eaten, He said, I restore. Because He is God, I decree the grace for restoration upon you in the name of Jesus. Whatever you think you must have lost, the latter end of Job, God made it to be far better than his former. For better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. In the same way, I decree by the authority in the name of Jesus, for whatever you've lost, receive it in a double fold in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether it is age, whether it is years, whether it is grace, whatever, whether it is gift, whatever it is, because I can sense that the Lord is in a very ecstatic mood this afternoon. Why? For he has been shown to men the way he is, with no man clogging the way, with no man struggling with him. And when men see him for what he is, gifts come down. Therefore, all that has been decreed concerning your existence, even the ones that you had lost, receive now in the name of Jesus Christ. Mark today, for it's a new beginning in your life. So it is. For when we put all our hopes on Him, He gives us a new beginning. Just as He called Abraham and He told him, change your life from Abraham to Abraham. I have called you, I'm going to bless you. And when Abraham put all his hopes in God, because the Bible says he judged God faithful, so therefore God also judged him faithful. If it is so, and since it is so, I decree to you that whatever that was on your slate that was not clean, it is wiped off in Jesus' name. You receive a new beginning, a new grace, new understanding, new ability to trust in God, new ability to walk with God. So it is in the name of Jesus.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-8133-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-409-9123-1, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life